to School of Science Radio here. Matthew Chandler with you on hosting duty this week. No Juno, he's off covering the US Open, I think, for work, but very happy to say. Got Pat Maribo from the site here to talk about two Everton wins this week. Pat,
how's it going, Matthew?
We didn't have enough half 12 kickoffs over on my side in the UK last year.
Yep.
What's it, view half 7 over there?
Yeah, it was definitely an early wake up for me, but you know, Everton made it worth it today. So great win. A little tired, but you know, it was definitely worth it.
Yeah, definitely worth it indeed. So we're gonna look back at the Salford win on Wednesday, and then obviously the West Brom win,
yep.
Which we've literally just seen the end of as we're recording.
Yep.
In fact, we may as well start with West Brom because I think obviously fresher in our minds, and I guess a more significant win in some ways than West Brom. So, first of all, I guess like coming off the back of the Salford game, obviously Ancelotti made 10 changes. A lot of people kind of underwhelmed, a lot of people overwhelmed, maybe impressed. Any kind of surprise for you that Ancelotti went for the same team that beat Tottenham last week?
Not really. I'd say it was a little disappointing that Gordon wasn't involved, at least on the bench. I know a lot of fans on Twitter were talking about him being left out again. I thought he put in a pretty good shift against Salford, so it was a little disappointing. But other than that, I thought the team selection was solid. You know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So, I was definitely pleased with the lineup today.
Yeah, I think that's key, isn't it? Like, we saw a lot of times, maybe under Marcus Silva or Sam Allardyce, maybe, like, a lot of chopping and changing of teams from one week to the next. And I think you look at teams like Liverpool, and I always think of, like, Leicester the year they won the league, for example, where you could pretty much reel off the 11 players that were going to start from every week. So I think it's definitely a bonus if you say, if Ancelotti has, like, the luxury of saying, this is my sort of, my default starting 11, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we're only three games in, but the chemistry already looks almost there. I mean, the midfield that we have now compared to last season is just, you know, uncomparable. It's just miles better already. I do think, you know, the one qualm I have with the midfield today, at least, is that I felt we got a little too pushed up in the second half today, which led to a few counterattacks for West Brom. But other than that, I thought, you know, they played well. And, you know, I think there's definitely a lot more to expect from the team in the future.
I should say, of course, for those who are listening who don't know, Everton, obviously, 5-2 winners in the end over West Brom. But kind of a much different game probably to last week, and that last week was against Tottenham was probably much more controlled performance, a lot less hectic. Obviously, Everton have a notoriously terrible record at winning from having gone a goal down. When they counter and then Dean Garner slots the iron past Pickford, did you feel a bit more at ease maybe this year than maybe you would have last year, or did you still worry that that was going to be kind of the end of Everton's chance of winning today?
Yeah, I mean, I was slightly optimistic compared to past seasons because we've seen this, you know, way too many times, especially against newly promoted teams. So there's definitely some worry there, but you know, the red card obviously for Gibbs, it was.
Yeah, it was a good time. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty huge. I think a lot of fans, you know, have definitely gone through the 1-0 down at home against the newly promoted team feeling before. So it was definitely nice that, you know, I wouldn't say we got gifted that red card. It was a red for sure, but,
yeah.
You know, it really helped us out a lot. But even without it, I feel like we still would have, you know, gotten the win in the end. I thought we played a lot better in the second half. But, yeah.
I never thought Everton were particularly bad in the first half, to be honest. I just felt like you could tell it was going to be one of those games where, you know, an inferior team gets a break and then goes ahead and then kind of puts the bunkers up and it's kind of a rearguard action performance for the rest of the game. But Everton obviously eventually get equalised. I always thought like I felt like we were threatening West Brom enough before we equalised. Their keeper Johnston obviously fumbled a few and looked a bit uneasy under pressure. And I thought Luca Dean's deliveries were pretty solid in the first half and helped give West Brom a lot to think about.
You can go.
No, go on.
I was just saying, I'm not sure what the corner count was for us for the game, but I know we had at least 10 or so.
Yeah, I mean, we had Martin Keown on commentary over here, and he was saying, like, I think he said at one point that Everton's corners were becoming too predictable because it's just Dean after Dean cross after Dean. But then, you know, but then at the same time, he also said on commentary that Dean, like, has the most assists in the league last season, or the second most, or sorry, third most after the two at Liverpool. So
yeah,
you can kind of understand probably why Everton are so sort of trustworthy with Dean in that sense.
Absolutely.
What do you think of the goal? First of all, the equaliser. Did you? My initial reaction was it was offside, but then obviously, thank God for VAR eventually.
Yeah, thank God. VAR did not help us out too much last season. I was glad it was finally on our end for the first time in a long time. You know, I'm still getting flashbacks to the Man U game last season with the Gylfi sit-up he had there. But I'm glad we're able to, you know, get on VAR's side for once. I thought, you know, watching the replay, thankfully they have about 12 cameras facing the goal, so it wasn't too hard of a miss. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was rightfully awarded. You know, took the deflection off the West Brom defender. So yeah, I mean, thankfully, you know, it worked out in our favor.
Yeah, and then obviously Everton kicked on just before half time, and then went 2-1 up just before the whistle with Rodriguez, who continues to prove excellent value for money, I guess, even if it was a free transfer.
Yeah, he was brilliant today. That goal was awesome.
I feel like he grew into the game. You know, at the start, I felt like it wasn't for once of trying, but Evan just couldn't get him into the game. But then you see that, like, when he even his touches on the ball, I thought last week, you know, against Tottenham, some of the passing spree to Luca Dean, especially, and today with his goal, you can tell that he's just got like that extra touch of class, can't you? Thinking.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he makes it so much more exciting to watch to me.
He definitely wasn't, you know, as active in terms of like, you know, crosses and those long passes we saw against Spurs. But you know, I think he's able to kind of get more central where he scored that goal from. And yeah, it was another great performance from him.
We obviously have the incident at halftime with Slaven Bilic as well. I don't know if you had this over in the States, but I was quite surprised that they let us hear this, but you can hear the whole conversation between Bilic and Mike Dean. Did you hear that over in...
I did, yeah. He had a few choice words for him, yeah.
I don't get why he was so pissed off, really, because...
Yeah, I mean... You know,
I don't think he had any complaints. I mean, Gibbs,
I know, yeah, that was as clear cut as you can get. I don't think he had much stance there, but
no.
Yeah.
So West Brom, so you come off the second half, and obviously think Everton hopefully will kick on 2-1 and maybe win by a couple, which obviously we do in the end. But that free kick from Pereira. Any complaints really about that, do you think? Or I mean, the commentary kind of dug out Yerry Mina a bit and said he should have jumped. But
yeah, I didn't see it at first, but on the replay I did see it kind of just scraped over Mina's head. You know, if he had jumped, I definitely think he would have blocked it. You know, I'm not too sure what the protocol is with, you know, in the wall. I can only assume they're getting told different directions. Maybe he was told not to jump, or maybe, you know, he was just being a little lazy on the goal. But in terms of Pickford's positioning, you know, he's definitely under the spotlight right now for, you know, just reasons. I think for some reason I just didn't see much effort from him today in the two goals. I feel like he could have easily gotten closer. I mean, it was a great free kick. You know, you can't deny that, but I don't know. I feel like he's always like a second off the mark. I'm not sure what you think about Pickford today or just in general.
I thought his positioning for the free kick was kind of slightly off. I don't know. Maybe we're being really harsh because, like you said, you can't deny that it's a great strike and a great free kick.
But, oh yeah.
It was just the way he died for it. It was not. I don't want to say half-hearted, but it wasn't like a full-on everything in this sort of dive. Was it? It was sort of.
Yeah, it didn't look like he extended his arm. Yeah.
And even the first goal with the Ngannou, obviously West Brom break, and then again, you know, maybe you could look at Mina in particular and say, what is he doing there? But Pickford again for that one. I think the problem was that, like, I felt that was going to be a goal. Even I just said, right, they're going to score here as soon as Ngannou picked the ball up and got into dangerous position. You know what I mean? And you know, if we have that lack of trust, maybe in Pickford, you wonder what the guys in front of him think.
Yeah.
In terms of his their confidence in him to save these chances. Just going back to the first one quickly, seeing as we're on West Brom goals. Who would you put the blame on that goal to anyone, or just say that again, great strike?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, on the first goal, right?
Ngannou, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like you said, Mina was definitely backpedaling a bit. You know, I think him and Pickford are really the only ones that I can kind of fault for that one. But, you know, it was a counterattack. I thought Mina should have pushed up. I mean, you know, it was a bit of a fluky goal all in all, but, you know, I think there wasn't much fault, just maybe a little miscommunication on Mina and Pickford's side, but can't really complain too much though. I mean, we're going to get goals scored like that, so it's, you know, couldn't have worse, I guess.
Yeah, I think again, like, it was good that even after 2-2, obviously we still have most of the second half to play then, but just great to see up and kick on, I guess, and get the three goals with Michael Keane and then Dominic Calvert-Lewin with two. I think all three of them were from set pieces.
Yeah.
Or at least two of them were, I think.
I believe so, yeah. I'm trying to think.
I mean, great to see Everton kind of show a lot more resolve than they did last year, I guess, or last few years, to be honest, and kick on and get the win.
Yeah, definitely.
Were you worried this morning at all about the whole going top if we win thing, or do you think that had any sort of play in their minds at all, or not?
Yeah, I saw a tweet last night. And it just said good night, and it was a screenshot of when we played them. I don't even know how many years ago, and I think Rondon scored against us late in the match. I forgot what that was. That was the tweet though, and that got me a little nervous before I went to bed last night. But yeah, it's nice to be top. That's all I can say. You know,
For the time being. I know. I remember that West Brom game. It was, I think we had something like 30 shot, and they had one.
That sounds about right, yeah.
I think their one shot was the only shot on target in the whole game, which was kind of like,
yeah.
It was peak sort of late Everton Martinez era. But yeah, I mean, totally different story today, wasn't it? I guess the show was kind of.
Yeah.
Benefits of good management and good tactics and good setup and good players, I guess, really, more than anything.
Yeah, and I don't really like writing teams off, you know, two games into the season, but I'm just not sure if West Brom, you know, can stay up. I'm not sure if that's been the early consensus so far, but, you know, they don't really have a striker. I think Pereira, you know, is a very good player, great free kick goal. I don't really see them, you know, making too much of an impact in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, but that's true, I guess. But then, you know, like, you look at teams like that last season, like Norwich and Bournemouth. Who was the other team who went down last year? Watford were the only team in the bottom five Everton didn't lose to us in the last season.
Yeah.
Six, apart from West Ham, I think. I think West Ham were the other one. So, you know, today was the kind of game we kind of saw Everton lose last year. So, I guess again, it's like it speaks to the kind of stronger mentality as well on the team as well, that we're able to kind of grind these results out, I guess, especially after going behind as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And obviously, got to talk about Calvert-Lewin, I guess, because after Michael Keane gets one and then Calvert-Lewin gets the last two to complete his hat-trick. Even last season, I guess, when he kicked on, there was still that feeling that, like, at the end of the season that he kind of tailed off with, like... And I think, you know, to all intents and purposes, he was pretty poor in lockdown, wasn't he? And didn't have anywhere near as much of an impact and score in the last 10 games of the season. But he's come back again looking right up for it, hasn't he? And 4 goals in 2 games. Can't really complain much about that, can you?
Yeah, no, he's been playing great so far. Yeah, he definitely had a bit of a goal drought, you know, towards the end of last season. I think he didn't score in, like, maybe last, like, 8 or 9 matches, I want to say.
He might have got 10.
10. But yeah, no, I thought he played great. I mean, the service around him is just, you know, completely different compared to, you know, you got the midfield trio we have now, you know, compared to Gylfi, Davies, and, you know, Gomez, and just the inclusion of James as well. He just has so much more, you know, kind of creativity around him. And, you know, you got Digne, you know, crossing the ball in 15 times a game. You know, Calvert-Lewin's going to get on the end of one of those crosses. So, yeah, I thought he played great today.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually, in terms of talking about service. I mean, it's kind of been a long-standing problem with Everton strikers, hasn't it? Where it's like people are in two minds whether to blame them for the lack of goals or blame the teammates for the lack of support.
Yep.
But, you know, Calvert-Lewin is obviously getting that now and he looks really sharp, doesn't he? I mean, he come back with a real sort of hunger and, like you said, with the added creativity of Rodriguez and stronger midfield that we got now with Allen and Decore, who I thought both again impressed today as well. He's going to take some stopping in terms of getting in the England squad, I think, as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that as much as people like kind of the pairing of him and Richarlison up top, I thought that playing him kind of more outside on the wing has been beneficial as well, since we don't really, you know, have that solidified, you know, left side midfielder right now. I mean, you know, you got Anthony Gordon coming in and, you know, Bernard, still not the biggest fan of him, but I think just kind of being able to, you know, create that wide play, you know, in the attacking end has really benefited Calvert-Lewin a lot.
Do you think the change of formation has helped him then? Because obviously he did strike up this great partnership with Charles, and didn't he? But since you've gone back to 4-3-3, I guess it's not quite the same formation. Like, it's not 4-3-3 in the same way that Marcus Silva played 4-3-3, was it? Or 4-2-3-1. Midfield are a lot closer together.
Yeah.
And there's a lot better support. The squad is probably
strong. Yeah, absolutely.
But, like, do you think... I guess what I'm saying is, which system do you think suits Calvert-Lewin best overall, would you say?
I mean, based on his heading ability alone, I think that, you know, the 4-3-3 is a very strong one, you know. And when you have a player like Digne who can, you know, push up the pitch so well, he's basically playing left wing at times. And, you know, just being able to get that service from him, you know, along with having James and, you know, Richie helping him out as well. You know, I think... you know, him being up there by himself, you know, is a pretty good spot for him. You know, he obviously doesn't have the same kind of, you know, build-up play and strength as, you know, Lukaku, for example. But, you know, I think, you know, he's still young and he's still, you know, getting the goals and making things happen. So I think he's definitely, you know, playing great right now.
Yeah, and like you say, he's young, isn't he? He's still got room to grow and get even better, hopefully. And hopefully it's while still wearing an Everton shirt.
Yeah.
touch wood. Thoughts on Richarlison today? Because, I mean, obviously, touched on him, obviously, being moved back to the left wing. I felt he was kind of hit and miss a bit at Tottenham last week. Worked very hard, but nothing really came off for him in terms of finishing or end product. How do you think he did today?
Yeah, I think I saw on Twitter he was involved in 4 of our goals, I want to say. Does that sound right to you?
Well, would you count the first one? I don't know.
Start. Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess that counts as involvement.
In a way, yeah. But
yeah.
How do you think he did overall?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he did well. You know, it was definitely tough not to see him on the score sheet, but I think it's a good sign when, you know, we're getting goals from players outside of him, because he, you know, was easily our player of the season last year. And it kind of speaks on the quality we have now with the new signings that Ancelotti has brought in, that, you know, we're able to rely on, you know, those players, those other players for goals and not just him. So, you know, if anything, I'm sure there's a bit of, you know, relief taken off his back, but I'm sure he's a bit gutted to not be on the score sheet today.
He looked absolutely gutted when it's a great ball by Sigurdsson, isn't it? And then Richarlison's volley to home beautifully, and unfortunately for him, just a slight stray offside, wasn't it? But
yeah, that was a great finish too. I wish that would have counted.
Anyone else today that you want to single out for praise or even criticism, I guess, if you want? Even after a 5-2 win, anyone else stand out for you?
You know, I think that, you know, Gylfi, you know, he, if, you know, those who watched the Salford game, I think saw he, you know, I think really does bring a decent impact off the bench, which I'm sure not a lot of us would have said weeks ago. But, you know, I think having, you know, that kind of player who can, you know, go on for James, you know, is something good to have. You know, he had a few, you know, finger points today, as he usually does. But, you know, I think he's kind of accepted that, you know, bench role. And, you know, I think having him as an option off the bench is pretty decent. I mean, I think, you know, people say he's definitely lost his legs over the years, but, you know, being able to play, you know, 30, 40 minutes a match, you know, I think it's, you know, good to have that kind of player in our team. You know, I don't really see Ancelotti moving him on. But yeah, I think having that quality on the bench has been good for the team as well.
Yeah, I think Sigurdsson is obviously someone I've spoken about before quite a lot about how I think he shouldn't have a place anymore. But in terms of, like, as a sort of deputy, I think he's done well so far, hasn't he? I think he's been linked with the move, hasn't he? But seems like Ancelotti likes him. Seems like he made a better impact as a sub when he can come on. Because, like you say, I just think he physically can't do 90 minutes every week anymore. You saw that, especially in lockdown, didn't you, with the volume of games we had and the reliance that Ancelotti placed on him to be the key man in that midfield, and it just didn't happen for him. So I thought he was all right today when he came on. Yeah, I thought he was all right. He played well against Salford without really kind of staking a claim to displace anyone in the midfield three. It's Ancelotti's first choice, but yeah, I don't think he'll go. I think he'll probably stick around. But like I said, if he's a backup option, then maybe that's not the worst route for him to go down. What did you think of Moise Keane today? Because what struck me was, we'll get on to Wednesday in a minute, but he kind of came in for a bit more criticism maybe than other people did on social media anyway, on Wednesday, despite obviously scoring that penalty. But I know he was only on very briefly today, but what I noticed a lot was he was kind of drifting out wide a lot. I don't know whether you picked up on that as well, and whether you think Everton should kind of persevere with him or loan him or even cash in on him. Obviously, didn't have a lot of time today to make an impact, but kind of with Calvert-Lewin's form as well, you can't see him taking Calvert-Lewin's place anytime soon, can you?
Yeah, since the day we signed him, I wanted nothing more than for him to succeed. But, you know, with Calvert-Lewin in form, you know, I think he has to accept that he's not going to be, you know, starting many matches. You know, I think it's good to have him included in the cup games. Like, I think, you know, having, I wouldn't say he's like a solidified, you know, player right now. You know, he's still unfortunately finding his feet, but, you know, being able to have someone like him who has that quality, you know, he's done great things for Juve, but, you know, I think for now, you know, having him, like I said, starting those cup games, you know, those games for Calvert-Lewin might need a break, as, you know, the schedule is a bit, you know, cluttered, you know, since, you know, all the matches and reschedules and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, you know, a little disappointing. I did notice he was out wide, you know, he tried making a few moves. I think he pulled off a Rabona towards the end too, which is didn't work out, but I was hoping for a penalty there. I thought it could have been a handball, but yeah, I mean, Ancelotti clearly rates him. You know, I know there are rumors of him going back on loan to Juve, I believe has been coming out the last few days, but I mean, what, he's still only, was he 19, 20?
20, I think, man.
20, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't see us getting rid of him. I think Ancelotti has just said, you know, way too many good things about him and how he's still, you know, in his plans and whatnot. But I think, you know, in terms of having that kind of depth up top and just in the squad overall, you know, I think that's something that we've kind of lacked in the past few years. And, you know, being able to field, you know, I thought the side we fielded against Salford, you know, was a relatively decent side. I mean, it was basically the side that we started most of our games last season, you know, give or take a few players. But yeah, I mean, hopefully King can kick on and, you know, get an assist or goal every now and then. But yeah, it's definitely unfortunate the situation he's in right now.
Yeah, I think we'll go on Salford now, and just to wrap this up. Everton, for the time being, at least top of the league after a 5-2 win over West Brom. That obviously, that came on the back of Wednesday's EFL Cup win over Salford, where Ancelotti made 10 changes to the team that beat Tottenham last week, and then just put the same team back in today. Just quickly touch on Salford then, because yes, there's not loads to talk about in terms of this game, and Evan kind of got the job done pretty professionally. But again, same question before, really. Anyone really make an impression on you from that game? Anyone disappoint you particularly?
I'm going to butcher his name, but I believe it's Nkunku, right?
Yeah, the left back.
Yeah, he played great. You know, I didn't know anything about him, nor do I think any fans did when he came in, but he's just a huge body. Like, he's a very, you know, strong left back, you know, in terms of just physicality. You know, he's huge, and he just is able to, you know, kind of mirror what Digne does in terms of just kind of getting up the left side, playing, you know, further up in like a left wing kind of role. And, you know, I thought he played great. I mean, he's only 19, I believe, and you know, kind of with Keane, having that kind of young quality, you know, in the team is really beneficial. I thought he played well, and his link up play with Gordon, I thought, was really impressive too. I think, you know, having that, you know, kind of quality on the left side was really big in terms of the win.
Were you at all surprised that Gordon didn't make the team today? I think you obviously mentioned Gordon then. He was kind of one of the standout players for me. Probably should have scored, shouldn't he, with the shots that he had, hitting the post a few times. Do you think he's kind of, would you put him ahead of, say, Bernard in the left wing pecking order? Would you put him ahead of Walcott maybe on the wing, or Iwobi now? Or how close do you think he is to being in that team?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would take Bolasie over Walcott on the wing, you know, how things are going now. But yeah, I mean, I feel like these are the kinds of games where, you know, a player like Gordon can shine. You know, newly promoted team, I feel like he would have been a great substitute in the second half, you know, once we're up a few goals, kind of get those minutes in. Bernard, he just, you know, he just really lacks, you know, kind of consistency for me, as do a lot of our other wingers. But I think Gordon, you know, kind of like Keane, how he's been, you know, really applauded by Ancelotti the past few weeks and months. I was definitely disappointed to see him not, you know, included on the bench today. You know, clearly Ancelotti knows more than we do, but, you know, hopefully we'll see a similar team this Wednesday against Fleetwood that we did against Salford. So hopefully he can get back in the team then.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at Wednesday and you think 3-0, pretty solid win. And it was, but I guess you always maybe kind of hope for a bit more, or like, not a bit more, but maybe just like, obviously 10 changes, the majority of these players are fringe players. And maybe one or two didn't take the chance. Obviously Sigurdsson scored in the second half, Michael Keane scored, and then Moise Keane hit the penalty and then looks really miserable after scoring it, which
yeah,
that's a bit disheartening to see.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this a bit with Ian last week, but how important, how big a priority would you make this cup this year for Everton?
I mean, I think that's be our top priority for sure. I remember hearing a few weeks ago, are like the top six, are those teams not participating in the cups because of?
Yeah.
Oh, they are. They aren't.
No, they are. Yeah, they are. In
okay.
It, yeah. That was rumored, yeah, but it didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I picked in our kind of predictions for the season for them to win the EFL Cup.
Do you want to retract that now?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm still confident. I think there were some decent draws a few days ago, and we got lucky with ours for, you know, if and when we beat
Fleetwood.
But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the players have said it. James has said it. Ancelotti has said it. You know, we need to win a cup. It's been far too long. And, you know, with the quality we have, the depth we have, again, knock on wood, hopefully no more injuries. You know, I think it should be our number one priority. Obviously, it's not as big as the FA Cup, but just having some piece of silverware will definitely be a big boost for the team because, you know, as I've said, we've gone far too long. And I think this is, I can't speak for every fan, but I feel like this is, you know, one of the more confident times I felt, you know, being a supporter in terms of just our manager, our team, our depth, our quality on the pitch, our midfield, everything. You know, I think it's still working out. You know, I think once we work on the chemistry, kind of get that to 100%, you know, I think we're going to be a great squad, you know, this year. I don't see too many weaknesses in our team right now. You know, things can be said about Pickford, Mina, Walcott. But if Ancelotti were to bring in another player or two, I'm not too sure how likely that is. Maybe a loan or two, but yeah, I think, you know, we can definitely go far in the cup this year for sure.
I was going to ask you about bringing in players. Obviously, I guess one of the down spots of Wednesday night was seeing Jared Branthwaite go off injured. Ancelotti since said that he's going to be out for 3 to 5 weeks, I think. Mason Holgate's obviously going to be out for a while. Lewis Gibson, I think, is going out on loan. Looks like he's going to Reading.
Yeah.
In the Championship, which leaves you with literally just Michael Keane and Yerry Mina. No centre-backs on the bench on Wednesday, so we had Luca Dean there. And he did okay, but then obviously you're talking about doing okay against a League Two team. You know, with the greatest respect, Devon should be beaten as comfortably as he did. Centre-back, is that... Because I'm kind of torn on this one, because I feel like we have, if you include Gibson, then you have like 5 centre-backs really that you can pick from. Holgate, Mina, Keane, and then Branthwaite and Gibson. I guess my issue with this is kind of like, if you could potentially be signing like a long-term solution to a temporary problem in terms of like filling in for injuries. Obviously, we've been linked with Takaya Tomori at Chelsea on loan. How do you feel about new centre-back? Or do you think it's not as big a deal as maybe others because these guys will come back soon and then we'll be fine? How do you see it?
Yeah, I can only assume we're going to be linked with, you know, every centre-back on the market the next few weeks. You know, all the rumours that have been coming out. I do think that Gibson and Branthwaite are the future, you know, center back pairing for us. And I think bringing in, you know, someone like Tomori would not only kind of be a placeholder for Gibson and Branthwaite's kind of development, whether they go on loan or play for the U23s or whatnot, But also, yeah, like you said, with the injury crisis we have now, I think we definitely do have to bring someone in, whether it's on loan, which I think is the more likely option than, you know, actually, you know, purchasing a player. I would love Tomori. He's young. He's pretty, you know, highly regarded in that Chelsea team. I'm sure, you know, Brands and Ancelotti are working on something, you know, behind closed doors. I'm really hoping we can bring in another defensive reinforcement or two.
Obviously, if it's Tomori who comes in on loan, do you throw him in straight away, or do you feel it's kind of harsh on Keane or Mina to drop out of them? Because I guess the problem is, if you're going to bring in, especially loan players, they're going to expect to want to play, you know, most games and be a regular. So, based on what you've seen from Keane and Mina so far this season, do you feel like either of them would deserve to lose their place, or do you stick with what you got for now and tell Tomori to kind of fight for his place and earn his way in?
I think the goals aside for Keane, I thought he's played pretty well so far. Definitely the better out of, you know, Mina. Yeah. Mina's kind of a toss-up for me. You know, if we were to bring in, you know, Tomori or just another kind of young center back on loan, I think they would definitely be challenging Mina first, then Keane. You know, Mina, he's a very clunky defender, is the way I like to put it. You know, he kind of runs on stilts, and he doesn't have, like, the best positioning, you know, for my liking. But I was about to tweet after, you know, that first goal where he was backpedaling the whole time that Barcelona basically robbed us blind. But, you know, I think that he's, you know, out of him and Keane, I think Mina's the one more likely to definitely face some competition if we were to bring in, you know, someone, which I think we will. I mean, Ancelotti's talked about it, I believe, a few days ago in a press conference, I want to say, where he wasn't too sure. I think he was asked the question, and I think he gave some kind of response where he's definitely looking to bring someone in, but I'm not too sure.
I think probably you got maybe with Keane and Mina is that they're quite similar defenders, aren't they? You know, neither of them have got a great turn of pace. They are kind of solid, reliable, but maybe not in that sort of top echelon of defenders, or probably not even as good as Mason Holgate, probably. So I think why, even though I agree both of them have had a pretty good start to the season, especially Michael Keane, I think what you will find eventually is that these two are maybe too similar to be like a long-term pairing, and you need a kind of blend of pace and power, I think, which maybe you get more with Holgate and one of them. And that, you know, I'm not massively on board with like, say, Tomori, for example, which nothing against him. I previously didn't really think we need a centre-back. Maybe we do now with Branthwaite injured, Holgate injured, Gibson out on loan. But Tomori, I think, will definitely be someone who will kind of balance that out a bit more, and because he's, you know, he's a quick defender, he's agile, he gets around the pitch easier than maybe Michael Keane or certainly Yerry Mina does.
Yeah.
There's probably a better balance, isn't it, I think. But in terms of the two of them so far, I think you've got to say they've done okay, I think, for the most part anyway. That first goal aside, maybe for West Brom.
Yeah.
Looking ahead to this week then, I mean, Fleetwood away in the next round. Fleetwood managed by Jerry Barton. We're recording this during the 3 o'clock games on the Saturday, so I'll just have a look quickly how they're getting on. But Fleetwood, basically League One side in the qualified via points per game for the playoffs last year, didn't win. They knocked out to Wickham, who went up. First game of the season, they beat Burton last week, and then obviously won in the AFL Cup in midweek against Port Vale. They're drawing 0-0 against Peterborough as we speak, who are kind of promotion favourites themselves. And obviously Fleetwood, of course, who had Lewis Gibson and Callum Connolly on loan last season as well. So while I doubt either of them will be playing, there's certainly some sort of familiarity there between the two clubs. I mean, I guess we would probably both agree, wouldn't we, that this has got to be a game that everyone takes seriously and this is a must-win. But when you look at the team that played on Wednesday against Salford, would you stick with that, or would you go? Would you maybe strengthen a bit on that?
If anything, I would probably switch out Keane. I would.
Which Keane? Sorry, Michael.
Oh, sorry. Moyes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say we can't really switch out Michael Keane for anyone.
That's true. I'd say switching out Moyes Keane. You know, I want to say Calvert-Lewin, but maybe throwing Richie up there and, you know, having Gordon, Walcott on the wings. I think the midfield, I would like to see a different pairing than, you know, Siggy and Davies.
Would you give Davies another chance? Because he was another one who kind of came in for a bit of criticism on
Wednesday. I'd definitely rather see him than Gylfi out there for sure. You know, I think if anything, this criticism would help him. You know, I can't imagine, you know, if a player is, you know, not getting picked or, you know, anything like that, I can only assume they feel down. But if they do get picked for the next match, I can only think they would play, you know, to obviously have the manager think more highly of him. You know, it's, I don't think if Davies is picked, I don't think he's going to go out there in a slump and, you know, whatnot. I think he's definitely going to try to, you know, prove his worth. Same with someone like Jonjo Kenny. I'm still not too sure what the situation with him is. You know, I'm sure after playing almost every game for Schalke last season, he's, you know, certainly not too, you know, happy being second fiddle to Coleman, who I think has played really well so far. You know, I want to say he's 31 now, definitely getting up there in age, but you know, I thought he's been one of our better defenders so far this season. I feel like, you know, again, back to the depth conversation, having, you know, a solid right back in Kenny and, you know, having a semi-solid, you know, midfielder in Tom Davies, you know, just having that kind of quality and depth is something that we haven't really seen in the past few seasons, you know. So I think, you know, that'll, you know, be pretty important in terms of, you know, going far in the cup this year.
You say certainly the likes of Nkunku and Anthony Gordon, are they shoo-ins for you on Wednesday?
I think so, yeah. I'd be very surprised if they don't get selected, yeah.
And what about, obviously, João Virginia got his debut on Wednesday, and it's kind of, I guess, in goal, and it's kind of probably hard to judge him too much because I know Salford had a few chances, but they didn't test him at all, really, I can remember.
Yeah, I think he had maybe like one shot that was shot right at him. He just kind of, I don't think he made too many saves.
Yeah, no, they were very poor actually. So, but even as a league two team, I expected more from them.
Yeah.
Would you go back to Pickford? Would you stick with Virginia and give him another try and see if he's up to it? I think he was on the bench today, wasn't he? So you would assume, having been on the bench for the two league games and started against Salford, that he is kind of above Jonas Lossel at least now in Ancelotti's eyes. So,
yeah.
What do you think between him and Pickford, who would you go for against Fleetwood?
Oh, man, that's a head scratcher. Definitely glad I'm not in Ancelotti's position right now, but I feel like if we were to lose that game, and Virginia was starting, obviously all the flack would be, you know, on Pickford not getting the call in. I know that Virginia didn't have the best time on loan last year with Reading, I want to say.
Yeah.
I only saw a few clips, but he didn't have a good time there. I mean, again, I'm sure he's, you know, even more motivated to kind of, since he's getting this opportunity to obviously prove his worth. I want to say Pickford should start. Thankfully, that's the only problem is that, you know, goalkeepers, they can, you know, play every match if they wanted to. There's not too much physical exertion there. And against a team like Fleetwood, I don't see us being tested too much, but I can definitely see, you know, a more challenging, you know, match than the one we had against Salford. If I were Ancelotti, I would probably go with Pickford. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, my reason for going for Pickford is because I think you should always kind of go make a statement, even with your starting lineup, and show that you're you're all in for this and you're taking it seriously. And I'm not saying I wasn't taking it seriously on Wednesday, but I just think resting 10 players, I understand the fixture congestion because obviously you've got, you know, the next round of the Cup the week after, and then the next round of fourth round will be the week after this round. So 3 weeks potentially of midweek Cup games. So, but I mean, Jordan Pickford, I don't think needs to be rested, does he? He doesn't run around the pitch all game, or you know, he's got loads of energy. So,
I saw
some people asking before the game against Salford for the same team that beat Tottenham to play. And while I do understand what they mean in terms of if you want to go into it like with, you know, eyes on winning it and, you know, taking it as seriously as possible, I don't think that is feasible just with the amount of games and the shorter time frame they got to play them in this year. So I think we'll see changes again. I would like to see less than 10, personally. I think Decore maybe just to bolster the midfield, Charleston maybe just to try and get him off the mark for the season, because he looks like he has looked a bit in the two league games, like the fact that he hasn't scored is bugging him a bit and playing on his mind. I'd say he's not played badly. I just think once he gets the first one, then I think more goals of the season will come for Charleston. So I would go for Pickford. I would still keep Nkunku and Kenny and people like that and Gordon. I'd like to see Bernard again in the more central role, where I think he is better suited to playing than on the wing. And obviously playing there allows Gordon to do his best work on the left wing as well, doesn't it? So I expect changes, but I wouldn't make as many maybe as for Salford, because this will be a harder game. Fleetwood away will be a harder game than Salford at home. I'm sure about that. But obviously, it's a game that you expect them to win, and then obviously they made the fourth round draw this week, and the prize of winning this game will be a home tie to West Ham or Hull, who, again, you'd expect them to at least be favourites for that game. You would assume so. Win that, and then you're in the quarterfinal. So, you know, all of a sudden, we're not too far from, if not a cup, then at least getting back to Wembley and having a day out in Wembley and being in a cup final again. So, the other thing is as well that Liverpool, I think, have been drawn with Arsenal or Leicester. Lincoln, and then I think Chelsea are likely to play Tottenham in the fourth round as well. So the teams could be meeting each other early on. I hope even more for Everton. So I think I think this should be one of Ancelotti's biggest priorities this year. And I would like to see that reflected in his team sheet on Tuesday. Wednesday, isn't it?
Wednesday.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, like I said, winnable game, and hopefully next week we will be talking about Everton being in the fourth round against West Ham or Hull. Just one final, I guess, preview before we wrap up. Then, Crystal Palace away is the next league game for Everton next Saturday. I think it's 3:00, isn't it? So, yeah. Slightly longer lie-in for you and other American.
Thankfully. Yep.
Thoughts on that one? I mean, we're doing this again. As I say, we're doing this before Palace play Manchester United later today. Thoughts on that game? What you're expecting from Palace? What you're expecting from Everton, I guess, as well.
Palace got a win, right, in their first game?
Yeah, they beat Southampton last week, yeah.
Southampton,
yeah. Zaha.
Oh, right, of course it was Zaha. I think that, you know, it really depends on how the Fleetwood Town match goes. You know, again, there will probably be a lot of new faces in the squad, as Ancelotti will probably make, you know, a good amount of changes, you know, versus the match on Wednesday to Saturday. I'm not too sure what to think. It's still so early, but you know, it's based on the quality alone we've showed, you know, so far this season, you know, 3 wins in 3 matches against a relatively lower quality side in Crystal Palace. I'm not too sure how their team is sorting out this year, but I definitely expect, you know, another strong performance. Obviously they're not, you know, to the likes of West Brom. So I'm not expecting another, you know, 6-7 goal thriller, but, you know, considering the win over.
It's always 0-0 when we play Palace.
I know. I was going to say, I was thinking back. I was like, wait a minute. There's never a lot of goals scored in this match. But yeah, I mean, they're not, you know, top quality side. I think we're pretty low scoring. You know, I know that, I want to say Van Aanholt is still out for them. I think he's training. I'm not sure if he's back though. But other than that, you know, there's not too much quality in that side other than him and Zaha. So I think that we should be strongly expecting a win for the Blues on Saturday.
I think they've had quite a decent window in terms of players they brought in anyway. I think they signed Nathan Ferguson, who's a promising young right back from West Brom. Eze from QPR looks a player on the wing. Kept Zaha for the time being, although every time Roy Hodgson seems to talk about him, he seems to give the impression that Zaha's been held at Palace against his will or something.
Yeah.
Which isn't too bad when you're getting paid. What Zaha's getting paid, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Batshuayi has obviously come back as well, so you would assume he will add a bit more firepower, but then having seen Batshuayi the last few years, Batshuayi and Benteke might not be like the most fearsome strike partnership in the league. Jordan Ayew, I think, had a good season from last year, and I think he got about 9.
Yeah, he did.
But we have a good record against Palace, I think. It was, you know, decent in terms of it. We don't seem to lose to them very often. And obviously, they are quite dependent. I don't know if it's what it was, what it used to be, but I think they are quite dependent on their quite raucous home crowd. So,
yeah.
And they were terrible, actually, post-lockdown. I know they won last week, but I think they won. They won their first game and then lost 7 in a row. And then,
really? I did not know that.
Drew on the last day and then obviously won last week. You would expect them probably to lose to United today. you're not sure. You wouldn't imagine that will dent their confidence too much because, like I say, you would expect them to lose that one. But any changes from the team today you'd make for that one? Given the kind of game it'll be as well, I guess.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think, you know, definitely having Gordon on the bench would be nice. I can't think of too many other changes I'd make. I thought it was a pretty strong side again. Other than just the inclusion of Gordon on the bench, you know, I think that's really the only kind of change I'd have. I thought, you know, the starting 11, you know, was picked well. And, you know, I'm hoping we don't stray too far away from that for, you know, a good part of the season.
Would you stick with Andre Gomes in that midfield in terms of, I guess you've got options there now, haven't you, with Delph? Not Delph. Oh, God. Hopefully not.
Never Delph. Never Delph.
Tom Davies, obviously, can play there. Yeah. Tom Davies is not going to start against Palace, you wouldn't think. But, no. Sigurdsson, you could push maybe Decore deeper and move Sigurdsson forward, or Iwobi or Bernard. Based on what you've seen from Gomez and what you expect from Palace, would you stick with Gomez? Because I think he's been slightly better. I say slightly, I think he's been a lot better, actually, with the insurance of Allen and Decore around him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, he's definitely getting pushed up more on the pitch, which is good. You know, he's getting involved in more. You know, like the attacking chances we have and whatnot. I think, like you said, having that quality around him has definitely, I guess, taken a better weight off his shoulders, considering for a better part of last season, he was, you know, one of our better midfielders. You know, he didn't have the best time out, but again, that was based on, you know, playing with Sigurdsson and Tom Davies every week. You know, there's not much to be expected, but he's definitely, I wouldn't say he's quiet, but you know, he's definitely composed on the ball. You know, I'd much rather have him in there than Gylfi or, you know, Davies. But, you know, this could be a game where, you know, throwing in a player like Gylfi or Davies, you know, could be good, considering just the quality we have around them. Like, I don't think including, you know, Gomez in the team or having him on the bench would make too much of a difference. If we do keep the same team we had today and against Spurs, I think, you know, that one player won't really mess up the system and the chemistry we have now. But if there is, you know, like you said, one player, I'd probably, you know, I could see being switched out. It would be Gomez, you know, for the likes of Gylfi or Tom Davies.
I think the other thing as well, like I said, if we beat Fleetwood, then we will have six games in 2.5 weeks as well. So you've got to look at rotation to a point, although you could say that this early stage in the season, they shouldn't be fatigued. They shouldn't need,
right?
You know, a rest yet.
Right.
So I guess it's kind of finding that balance, isn't it, between overworking them and, you know, rotating the squad, giving game time to people who need to play more and need to get more experience. And I think Tom Davies is certainly in that bracket, isn't he? Whether that'll be Everton or not, I don't know.
Yep.
We'll have to wait and see. How do you see, if I asked you if I push you for prediction on the Palace game? Let's do both.
Okay.
Fleetwood and Palace. How do you see Everton going this week? I think 5 wins in a row is too much to ask from Everton.
Fleetwood, I'm going to go with a 3-1 win. And Palace, I'll go 2-2.
Would you take a draw at Palace, or is that kind of begrudgingly accepting 2-2?
If we beat Fleetwood, I'd be okay with the draw at Palace. I'd be content for the most part.
Yeah. And look, I think, you know, you want 9 in an ideal world, obviously, but especially given, you know, the base that Everton started from or finished last season on, I think 7 points from the first 9 would be a pretty respectable return. Then you go to Brighton at home, and then you've got Liverpool at home and Derby. So hopefully these next few games will keep us on a good footing ahead of the Derby.
I'm just waiting for the eventual Twitter meltdown that's bound to come soon. It's kind of, we're on this roller coaster right now that never seems to want to end. Yeah. But we're not going to lose to Fleetwood. I don't think we're going to lose to Fleetwood.
No.
But if and when we get that first league loss, I can only assume slight meltdown.
Yeah. I like that you said if and when and not just when. Like, not totally ruling out the possibility of Everton going unbeaten, but
not at all.
Yeah, I admire your optimism. I fancy Everton to beat Fleetwood. I think we all do. I go 2-1. I think any team. Joey Barton's obviously a big Everton fan as well, so I think he will Fleetwood manager now, and he will want to really sort of get his players up for this one. I'm sure.
Yeah,
hard game. I've seen a bit of them because I watch a bit of lower league football. They got some, technically for their level anyway, some pretty decent players, and they'll make it hard for Everton in what is a pretty compact, tight ground as well in Highbury. So, be a challenge, but like you said, you'd expect Everton to get through that one. And then Palace, I don't know with Palace because we always seem to draw there.
Yeah,
we never seem to lose there either. So. I am leaning towards a draw as well. It's kind of hard. I can't visualise Palace against Everton without it being 0-0. So.
Yeah, I know.
I'll go for 1-1. I think I'll change up this year. Go 1-1, which not the result we want, but, you know, like I said, under the circumstances, not a terrible result either. And
absolutely, yeah.
I think if we just keep it. If we are unbeaten by the time we play Liverpool, that's the game, isn't it? Like, we can get to that game. Maybe even above them in the league by the time, you know, they still want to play Chelsea and Arsenal before us.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get to there with an unbeaten run intact, you know, 12 points out of 12 would be great, but if we could be unbeaten at least, then that would be a real sort of fillip and a real kind of feather in Everton's caps.
Oh, yeah.
That one. So I'm not saying Ancelotti should set up just not to lose, but I think at the same time, you've got to. Realise where Everton have come from, and just because we won 2 games doesn't mean we should all kind of get too carried away and say, you know, it's our year, or, you know, we're going to win the league yet or whatever. So a lot to look forward to, I guess, and a lot more positivity and a lot more fun in watching everyone, I think, than the last few years.
Oh, for sure.
Hopefully more of that in the next 7 days.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much for joining me, Pat. It's been great to talk about two Everton wins.
Yeah, of course.
I think last time we had you on was the Norwich game, which we won, so hopefully we make it 3 out of 3 next time we come on. We're talking about another win.
Fingers crossed.
But yeah, thanks for listening anyway. School of Science Radio. Gino will be back from watching golf next week to talk about hopefully two more Everton wins. I'll speak to you again next time.